today we have with helpalongyourway.com podcast, Ted from Amon Amarth. So welcome, Ted.
Thank you very much.
Search Your Rising is a new album. With several albums under your belt, was there still a challenge faced with this new record?
Well, of course it's a challenge, especially when the previous album was a big success for us and made us grow a lot. And it's always tough to write a new album after that, because you have a high pressure from people. They expect you to do an even better album, so it's quite tough.
Okay. Now, on various tracks, there seem to be string sections or synthesizers. Were these actual strings that people played, like violins and cellos and violas, or were they synthesized into the mix?
No, all the strings are actually played by a real live guy. It's a guy that our producer knows. It's a friend of him. So all the strings are actually live recorded, but then we have some sound effects and other stuff that are of course not real ones, but all
right.
The strings are live.
Okay, and so when y'all are playing live on this upcoming tour, you know, here in the U.S., are you going to use actual musicians for these parts, or is it going to be hard disk?
No, we have all the recordings on a hard disk, so we will bring it for the songs that we feel needs the backtrack. We will have backtrack, but no live performance on tour. It's gonna it costs too much to use a live set during a tour.
One idea I'd mentioned back to Insafero, had the opportunity to interview them a couple years ago or a year or so, and I know that they use a lot of string sounds in their music, and I mentioned, you know, as you're going on tour, maybe you can line up some university students that are studying music in those cities to come play for you live. So I just throw that out there.
Well, yeah, that's probably a good idea, but it's tough to arrange everything to work. But yeah, it's definitely an idea that you could use for things like that. I mean, in Europe, for last album, we had the guy from Apocalyptica play on our album, and a few occasions where he could, he actually traveled to play with us. But as you said, it would be great to use students wherever you go, because they're always available and they probably want to play a live set. I guess
exactly
what you want to do when you're a musician. You want to play. So yeah, that's maybe something we have to think about in the future and see what we can do.
Yeah, that would be fun. Now, in terms of your bass guitar on the new album, it sounds more distinct, a little bit louder. It's easier for me to pick out, because normally it's hard for me to pick it out. And so I plug in my headphones.
Yeah.
But with my headphones, and I could definitely hear it. It sounded really good. Now, did y'all turn up the volume on the bass on this album, or was it just how it was mixed?
It's a little bit. I mean, we said when we entered the studio to record this album that we wanted to have a bit more guitars and a bit more bass, like in general. And I know that Jens, he was working a lot to get this this more raw sound on the bass that would stand out a little bit more in the mix. So yeah, it was intentional from the beginning and through both like, of course, the amp sound and also in the mix.
I'm very impressed. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about some of your music history and some possible adventures. Tell us the first metal concert you went to, and who was it?
I went to my first metal concert, I think it was spring 86, and it was Accept playing in my hometown. I think it was the Metal Heart tour, and of course I was very, very impressed. I went with my dad, or my dad took me there because he knew that I loved Accept, so that was my first concert.
Very cool. They're one of my favorite bands from Germany. Also, I grew up listening to them. My older brother was a big fan of theirs, and so he turned me on to their music. So I'm still a fan. Now, in terms of your favorite bass players, any genre of music, name one or two.
Favorite bass player has to be Steve Harris, of course, since Iron Maiden is my all-time favorite band, my first band I really got into. So Steve Harris is a favorite, as a bass player and as an artist in general.
Okay. Now, we know there's a story from Sweden. It was a book written by Astrid Lindgren, I think. It's called Pippi Langstrump.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with this story?
Pippi Langstrump?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. That's like the most famous children's tale in Sweden for kids. So, yeah, everybody knows about it.
Okay. Well, now, would Amarn Amarth ever consider doing, like, a concept song that would make Pippi Longstocking a Lady Viking heroine of sorts? It might be a concept video, like a cartoon, animated cartoon or something, but I just thought, well, I know Amarn Amarth, you know, they've got the beastly men on the front covers and swords and everything. What about Pippi Longstocking?
I guess that would never happen, but I don't think that would like fit our image or style. You know, people would think that we are weird if we do anything like that.
I understand.
But we did actually. There's a cartoon called Vicky Viking it's mainly popular in Germany. It's like a kid's cartoon. And we used actually their intro as our intro for a few shows a few years back in Germany, and it was very, of course, people thought it was very funny and thought it was good, but it's nothing we will do like more seriously. It's most for fun maybe now and then.
Yeah. Okay. Now, in terms of playing live, we know there's different kinds of venues where there's a traditional theater where there's a big stage and then theater seating. And then there's stadium seating. And have y'all ever played in a venue where it's like theater in the round, where the stage is a complete circle and then you have the crowd surrounding you?
No, not completely surrounding us. No, just like more like a theater where the audience is in a bow in front of you. But we've never been in the middle like. Nothing like Metallica did a few years back.
Now, is it true that Tolkien, the author Tolkien, is an influence on the band, or in terms of the name?
Come again? The name is from him from the beginning. I mean, we took the band name from one of the book he wrote way back, and I mean. Nothing that we're not really Tolkien influenced as a band, but I came up with the name myself, and I was reading the book, and it sounded cool. You know, it was had a powerful meaning that suited our music, I guess.
Now, have you yourself seen the movie Lord of the Rings that was released in 1978 by Ralph Bakshi? This is the one that they call a live painting movie.
Like the cartoonish movie?
Yes.
I've seen it a few years back. That was before, I saw it before the new movies came out.
Right,
That's not the complete story, as far as I remember. It's just short.
Yes, exactly. Now, what would you ever consider, like, you know, some of the battle scenes? They're pretty unusual, but just because of how they look. Would y'all ever consider using those as some backdrops, like live film backdrops as you're playing?
Nah, I think if we would do anything like that, and we've been thinking about having like projected live scenes in the background, but then I guess we would use real live people fighting, because we have friends that do these. Battle reenactments, you know, Viking kind of style. We sometimes use live on stage, you know, they're performing battles on stage and on fields and whatever. So I guess if we would do anything like that, we would use the real live guys.
Now, is that going to be done on this tour or just sometime in the future?
No, it's nothing planned right now. We just had the idea we have had it in our mind for a while, but we haven't been able to do it yet, but I think we'll probably do something like that in the future.
Now, did y'all get to play on the 70,000 tons of metal cruise?
Yeah, we play there.
Okay. Now, I did a little looking, and it looked like the set y'all had was 75 minutes long. Now, it was one of the longer sets that I saw from what I could tell on the schedule. Now, did y'all use this length of time to kind of be like a practice session or trial run of the new tour where you're going to have two parts?
No. The shows we did on the ship, we did the old show that we used for Twilight of the Thunder God, so we didn't play any new songs or anything like that.
So okay.
It was more or less a normal show, but like for the previous album. We tried a few wild cards just because we had two sets. We had one set on the way to Mexico and then one set on the way back, so we tried to, you know, mix the sets up a little bit and throw mm-hmm. a few wild cards in there for the fans to enjoy.
In terms of any film footage, are you going to be recording anything on this tour, a lot, you know, for a live DVD?
Probably not a live DVD, but I know that we'll probably record some stuff for later use, but we have no plans for live DVD at the moment, since we just released the four, like, Bloodshed over Bochum shows we did in Germany a while back, you know, the four first albums in their entire, you know, so we released them as the bonus thing for the Surtur Rising album, and so I guess that we'll have to do for a while. But probably we will do something in the future, but there's no plan right now. We're just gathering material in case we need it.
Will any of the members of the band, including yourself, be trying out new equipment for this tour? That could be guitars or amps or different effects pedals or strings.
No, not for the... I don't think it will be anything new. Well, a few new pedals, of course, because we have maybe some new sounds that we have to reproduce from the album, you know, to the live set. So I know that the guitar players have a few new pedals, but myself, I just go with the same setup I usually have. I'm gonna have a new amp when we tour Europe, but I won't be able to bring it to you. I have a rental over there.
Now, let's get a little bit personal. We'll ask you some questions about your life and maybe some of your philosophies. Just something a little different we try to do. What is your favorite hobby or pastime besides music?
Lately, I've been doing a lot of fishing, actually. I like to go out and fishing, especially wintertime. It's me and Olavi, our guitar player. We do some, like, ice fishing out on the lakes and seas, you know. We drill a little hole in the ice and then you fish from there. And that's very relaxing, and I enjoy it very much.
So what kind of fish do you catch?
Well, it's mainly the bass.
Bass, okay.
Bass, and I don't know the English name for the fishes you get. I only know the Swedish names, so they probably won't make any sense to you anyway.
Well, that's okay. I'm willing to look them up.
Yeah, well, there's one fish that you really want to get, and that's called Jöss. I don't know the English name, of course, and then you could get a few fishes that are not maybe too nice to eat, but they're fun to catch, and that's like brax and mört.
Okay. I think I've heard of the last two.
Yeah, well, I don't know. There might be some similarities in the names to the English ones, but I have no idea.
So your fishing, is it mainly catch and release? You just catch them and throw them back, or do you keep the good ones and then cook them up at home?
Well, most of the time it's catch and release, but if I catch something bigger, and I think if I want to eat it, I bring it home, but most of the time it's catch and release.
Now, have you ever traveled outside of Sweden to check out a band?
Actually not. I've been thinking about it several times to do that, but I haven't really had the time since I'm touring so much, and that's one of the opportunities. Like, you have as a band, you get to see a lot of bands while you're out on tour, but I don't count that as like travel somewhere to see a band. That haven't happened yet.
In terms of politics and you know, borders and countries and things like that, historically we know that Sweden has been conquered and conquered other people. There's a thought ever crossed your mind that, you know, your country could be invaded again, maybe by Russia or some other, you know, powerful country?
Well, I don't think anybody is interested in Sweden, since it's just such a small country anyway. we don't really have any wealth to talk about. So I don't think, even though we might have kicked their ass like a few hundred years back, I think it's all forgotten now. So I think we should be fairly safe.
That's good. Now, this brings me to my next question. I believe it was in December. I heard a news story. So I did a little digging into it. And this one news site called officialwire.com, they said on December 11th, Al-Abdali, who is 28, an Iraqi-born Swedish national who studied at the University of Luton in England, blew himself up and injured two people in downtown Stockholm. He apparently killed himself as he tried to set off a car bomb, the police have said. So, yeah. knowing that happened in Stockholm, I mean, just in your country, does that worry you at all?
Not really, because I think, as I said before, Sweden is not like the main target for any of these like people that want to commit like this terrorist act. So I'm not really worried. I mean, there are always maniacs everywhere. It could happen in any country, anywhere. So I'm not worried in that way. You know, it's not like I believe it's going to be a very common thing here. Just I think it's
right.
Like one thing, one time thing. Hopefully,
yeah. Just some freak.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, do you ever think that you were born maybe at the wrong time? Maybe you could have been better suited as a true Viking in the 9th and 10th centuries?
Well, actually, I'm quite comfortable living in this age. You know, it suits me well. It's because even though the stories and tales are maybe sometimes very romantic in a way, it
right.
was probably a very very hard and tough life to live, and I like it to have a nice warm house to live in, and like to have like a car and stuff. So I prefer to just read about old times and live today.
Yeah, that's what I like. That's what I like. Because I think, you know, my lifestyle, say my philosophies, are better suited for like the 1950s.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm glad I live where I do now and how I live. Because I wouldn't want to do all that hard work.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I wouldn't mind though to have if I had like a time traveling machine, I would definitely go back to visit, and but just for like a vacation. I wouldn't want to live there for forever, you know.
Right. Okay. Well, do you have anything that you want to say to your fans in the U.S. and fans around the world who might catch this podcast?
To all you people in the U.S., I hope you come to the show, because we're gonna try to make a kick-ass show with the two sets, and we're really looking forward to get out on the road again. It's been a while away from road, so yeah, please come check us out.